The restoration of District Hill Cemetery in Chickamauga, Georgia has been a long time in coming, but the completion of that work is in sight. District Hill is a historic African-American cemetery dedicated in 1912 and used through the 1940s until maintenance of the site stopped over time. Joyce Hazelrigg Harrison is a fourth-generation landowner of the property. Her father began the project, and she has received help from many corners along the way, including from Dr. Alicia Jackson and her students at Covenant College. As part of a course on African-American history, Alicia's students have researched and written biographies on the people buried at District Hill. Alicia, Joyce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Being here.
Tell us more about District Hill Cemetery.
District Hill Cemetery, if you go all the way back to the late 1800s, Gordon Lee, who was a plantation owner, had 5,000 acres in Chickamauga, Georgia. And in the late 1900s, or the very late 1800s, the Lee family gave, and I put this in quotation marks, the colored people of the community a one-acre lot for a cemetery. And according to our legal papers, when his sons came and verbally gave that to the colored people who were leaders in the community, it's not a deed when you, in that day, give your word and say that it's legally a cemetery when you put the first body in the ground. And so the first body that we have record of when it was a formal cemetery was about 1910. So it became a public cemetery, and it's 1 acre contiguous to the Hazelrigg property, which has been a problem because a lot of people think it's a private cemetery because three sides belongs to one family. But it is a public cemetery, and it existed and was established in the late 1800s when Gordon Lee's father was still alive. And it was verbally done. And then it closed in 1946.
And then just abandoned.
Well, abandoned because you're not burying anybody there. There are no formal ceremonies, rituals of any kind. People did come back on Memorial Day, which was typically something Southerners did, to clean the cemetery up. But over a period of time, because people died, they don't pass sometimes things on. The cemetery just became in disarray, part abandoned, neglect. No support for various reasons. And so my father, Willie A. Hazelrigg, has always tried to care for it and the family and some community people. But of course, with overgrowth and all, it becomes a problem. And then vandalism, people steal tombstones. And some people come in and just knock them over and destroy them. So a lot of that, which is something you really can't always prove. But what we're left with is a beautiful spot with over 130 people that were formerly put into that cemetery.
And then how is the cemetery cared for now? And you have a goal within the next 12 to 18 months.
Oh, yes. Well, cemetery for the last 10 years, at least, has been cut down from the overgrowth. We're maintaining it with every 2 weeks it's mowed. We have cleared it of trees. We have fenced it in. We have had a road improvement to get to the site. And now we have all of the grave markers that will be placed on each grave because we do not know who's in the grave, but we know the names of the people that are buried there. So we're ready now to put the grave markers on over 122 graves. About 10 of them already still have their markers on them. So approximately that.
And Alicia, that brings us to you and your students at Covenant College.
I met Ms. Harrison, in 2016 we met,
yes, ma'am,
through a mutual friend, and heard about the project. I've always been really interested in doing community research and projects. And so this was a great opportunity, I thought, for our students to give back to the community and also to learn about African-American history because it was students in my African-American history course. And so anyway, the first time I met with Mrs. Harrison in 2016 and then in 2018 is the first year I actually, well, we had some students out who began doing research on the folks who were interred there, the individuals. And so it was really powerful because the Harrisons have been so gracious to sort of give us an overview of the cemetery. We actually walked the grounds. And for many of our students, a number of them from the South, but a large majority of them are not. I mean, a number of these students are not students of color. So this is a really sort of first sort of foray into understanding African-American history. So we go there, we walk the grounds, we see some of the markers there, and then following in 2018, we began researching the people buried there. And so students, they go through, I assign them a name, and then they are tapped with going through census records, newspapers, vital records, death records, what information they can find on these individuals. And then from there, they write a paper with what biographical information they can find, and then they do research on sort of North Georgia area, and then and that sort of take that context and then move into talking about nationally what's going on within the African-American community. So it's really been a great experience for the students. I mean, they've had tremendous buy-in and really excitement about the work they're doing. And we did that in 2018. And then in 2020, I had students in that particular class work on that project.
And you are teaching this every other year, so this is ongoing.
Yes, it is. And as a matter of fact, in 2019, I had a student, Avery Drury, who she heard about the project. She had taken one of my other courses, heard about the project. So she did a summer internship where she went and did further research, created an Excel spreadsheet where she looked at all the people buried there, the names that she had to make sure to verify if they were buried in the cemetery or elsewhere, and did some other work that we've been able to work off of in assigning additional names. So I had a student who did that. She did that. And then last summer, even though she graduated, she and another student who took my course in 2020, they spent the summer working on some of the biographies, editing them, doing, you know, sort of going back through them. And then this summer, I have two students. One of the ones who worked last summer, her name is Julie Merritt, and another student this summer who are going through, going to provide the Harrisons for the project death dates and birth dates. So we're doing that this summer as well. So it's an ongoing project. It's been really exciting because of some of the things that we have found. So we have been able to identify through the kind of, and just give you a sense of what this does. One of the markers that's there that I don't know that's necessarily on the list, but her name is Lena Johnson. One of the interns this summer, Julie Merritt, discovered is that Lena's father was a teamster who worked on the fort in Fort Oglethorpe. And there are very few, if any, African Americans who worked as teamsters. And this is 1910 that he's doing this. It was predominantly white, but he's a teamster who's working there. And he and his wife had this daughter. She only lived a few months. Anyway, and she died, but she's buried there. And so I know that one of the things that the Harrisons have done through this work is they've had ground penetrating radar. So they know sort of like, for example, where there may be like infant graves. So now they have a sense with the kind of work we're doing, we can find out, we can identify that this is possibly this infant and there's another infant that we have identified on the list, that these are infant graves and could possibly be this particular child or this particular child. So not only is it giving sort of recognition of these individuals buried there, but it also tells a broader story about the Black community in North Georgia.
Even if you know where the bodies are buried, you still have to figure out, like putting together a puzzle, whose bodies are there.
If you can do that. But at least we would be able to say that these infant graves are possibly this child or that child.
Because there are four, total of four infant graves. The work that Dr. Jackson's intern did is such a masterful job because she was able to take the names that we had, and you're probably asking the question, where did they get the names? Willie A. Hazelrigg, who was my father, during his lifetime, he was born in 1921, so the graveyard, the cemetery, was very active in terms of rituals and official burials. So he knew a lot of the families there. So in 1993, he decided to write everybody on a piece of paper who he knew was buried there. He had the opportunity to talk to his mother, all of the people, and he had this all in his head, but he put it on paper. And that is how we know the names. And there are a few little discrepancies, but all in all, we have most of the names, I think, Mm-hmm. We're missing not too many names.
Right, and we haven't had a chance to talk in a while because we've been, and we've been relatively pretty busy this summer, but one of the, I know at least two or three more names I've been able to identify.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That were not on that list.
That's wonderful.
We're going through records. Mm-hmm.
I think it's unlike any other cemetery that we are discovering around the country. They discover an abandoned cemetery. There are some tombstones. A lot of times it's overgrown and not cared for. But do you know what those people did? And I think this project is unlike most projects because the people buried there had a stake in the community. They invested in the community. And that is the recognition that they need and history needs. The community needs. And so that's why I think this is a different project than just putting tombstones and keeping it nice and knowing who's there. But their lives are so important.
Another name there is Mark Thrash. Tell us more about him.
Well, there is a book about him that someone wrote. I can't give you the author, but my family knew him. He lived to be 122 years old. Shy of 123 years, I think by 8 days. He was born on Christmas Day. According to history, he was born in 1952. So he was enslaved. And he was also an employee of the battlefield way before it became a formal battlefield. But he buried Union and Confederate soldiers. And he was recognized for that as well as a pensioner from the battlefield. He had a home on the battlefield. He had a job there, and he retired there with a pension. And then he lived his life out in Chickamauga and died at that wonderful age of 122. So his legacy of being someone that, according to the history, that has this not alliance or that is aligned with the Southern Union and Confederate, he was one that buried both. So he had quite a history, and people look in the battlefield, they always wanted to know about Mark Thrash and where he's buried. So he is buried there. And my father knew exactly the spot that he was buried. And they had a rededication about, I think, in the 70s or the late early 80s, where the battlefield recognized that and rededicated.
And where can people keep up online with the work there at the cemetery as more is uncovered?
Google District Hill Cemetery. But I can't stop saying that this is a major piece to where we are today. University of Georgia, the Carl Vinson Institute, took on this project, and they were funded by a foundation to look at the cemetery and develop a master plan of how we could restore it. So we are using this plan. And this, of course, has given us credence, has given us much more of a platform, an organized way to look at how to do this. So this has been good for donors to be able to see a really masterful plan for the cemetery.
I would love the opportunity to maybe eventually have something where, in terms of Covenant, where we would have, or the students in work, where we would have something digitally involved where you could actually look at some of the biographies of the folks, the individuals who were interred there. So that's something that a long-term goal that we would love to be able to do, because I think it would be, we would be able to see the stories of the individuals who are buried there. And so one of the things that eventually I'd like to do is, there are not records for everyone, like a huge amount of records. So at least have a sampling of stories or biographies of individuals who are interred there. And we would also like to provide that for the Harrison, so that if people who are there, they could get a sense of some of the occupations, the life stories of these individuals who are buried there.
And that could certainly be part of a library, can be part of a museum, it can be part of the churches that hold the archives to have that information. So there are many, but that's wonderful that thinking of digital, because that is something when you tour the cemetery, you really won't have a chance to see the biographies as you would want to tell people to go to certain places to read about them.
If you're looking for volunteers to help, if you are looking for more financial support from the community, how can people contact you?
I would say Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, 20 Parish Drive. In Chickamauga, there is a special account
in that church because they were holders of the archives, one of the oldest African-American churches. And that would be a place that they can donate with a notation, District Hill Cemetery. It's all organized where it is separate, but it's for that. That would be one place. And I'm sure with a Google, it may be the Hazelrigg Farm, I don't know. But I do know Friendship Missionary Baptist Church is one way to donate. And you can send money there, and it will go to the right account.
All right. Joyce, Alicia, thanks so much.
Thank you.